The Society of St. Pius X consecrated four bishops on July 1st, 2026. As of the recording of this video, no statement from Rome has been made. For the purpose of this video, we will assume that an automatic excommunication has been declared and the consecrations called schismatic. The purpose of this video is not to show why a state of necessity exists, therefore rendering such declarations null and void. I'm not here to look at the big picture. I want to look at the bigger big picture. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Patrice. You can also like and follow me on Facebook, X, Rumble, BitChute, and Substack. My first book, Until the Last Penny, is available in both ebook and paperback. It's a fictional story of a soul's journey through purgatory, and it is unapologetically Catholic. You can get your copy by clicking the link in the description. Canon 844 says, whenever necessity requires it or true spiritual advantage suggests it, and provided that danger of error or indifferentism is avoided, the Christian faithful for whom it is physically or morally impossible to approach a Catholic minister are permitted to receive the sacraments of penance, Eucharist, and anointing of the sick from non-Catholic ministers in whose churches those sacraments are valid. Regardless of excommunication and schism, no one can deny the holy orders of the SSPX clergy are valid. And canon law gives us the right to receive sacraments from such clergy if it is morally impossible to receive them from regular Catholic clergy. Morally impossible can mean that attending a particular Mass would present such serious moral or spiritual difficulties that a Catholic could, in good conscience, refrain from attending. Michael Davies argued that this could apply to Catholics who have grave objections to the way the Eucharist is treated or to elements of the Reformed liturgy. For example, some may find it morally impossible to attend because of the widespread practice of communion in the hand, the routine use of extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, the near absence of the Roman canon, or the replacement of the traditional offertory prayers, which explicitly speak of a sacrificial offering for sin, with offertory prayers derived from Jewish table blessings. A change Davies believed was intended to make the liturgy more acceptable to Protestants. Whether one agrees with his conclusions or not, Davies' point was that moral impossibility can arise not only from external circumstances, but also from serious concerns of conscience regarding the reverence shown to the Blessed Sacrament and the integrity of the Church's liturgical tradition. So no, it does not have to be clown masses, rainbow masses, or any of the other countless blatant sacrileges that have occurred over the decades. It can be because of the changes to the canon and offertory that are part of the Novus Ordo. The Novus Ordo could be done in Latin ad orientem, no Eucharistic ministers or altar girls, with communion on the tongue, and you can still have a moral problem with the Novus Ordo Mass itself. Why do you think the answer being batted around Rome to please the Latin Mass crowd is a Latin version of the Novus Ordo? Why not just stick with the 1962 Missal? Why are they willing to give a Novus Ordo Mass that looks like the old Mass, but is in fact the Novus Ordo, if there is no difference? If the only differences are externals, ad orientem, communion on the tongue, the use of the Latin language, why are they considering giving the Novus Ordo in that style, but will not just keep the 1962 Missal as is? Why is that unacceptable if there is no real difference? That's because there is a difference. And many would say an unacceptable difference they are trying to impose on us. This code of canon law 844 is subjective, not objective. If you don't have an issue with it, that doesn't mean that I don't have an issue with it. And if I do, I'm justified. Interestingly, this law was introduced in the church with the 1983 code of canon law, undoubtedly for ecumenical purposes, and I'm sure they never dreamed that it could be used in this situation. And of course, many try to say it can't. But the code is pretty clear. If the SSPX priests and bishops are in fact excommunicated and in schism, we can still go to them for moral purposes and receive the Eucharist, absolution, and anointing of the sick. If someone says to me, the SSPX consecrated bishops without papal mandate, the Code of Canon Law is clear. Doing so is an automatic excommunication. I'm not supporting this, yada, yada, yada. Okay, well, I get it. That's a reasonable position. I would point out that the Code of Canon Law is also clear that if this is done out of a state of necessity, or the person thought a state of necessity existed, even if it didn't, that's Canons 1323 and 1324, an automatic penalty cannot be applied. But that's not the point I want to make here. I'm not saying look at the big picture. I'm saying look at the bigger, big picture. And that is, whose side is history going to be on in the end? Let's assume everything stays the way it is for another 100 years. The Novus Ordo is dying. Yes, there were a record number of converts this year, but converts do not make up for people leaving the church, and converts don't necessarily stay. 4 out of 5 people raised Catholic leave the church by age 23. This is not the case in the SSPX. According to Father Robinson, his guess was about 1 out of 10, not the 9 out of 10 ridiculous figures some are saying without any figures or facts to back it up. When baby boomers die off, the mainstream Catholic Church is going to be in trouble. And 95% of Catholics use contraception. That's in the Novus Ordo. That's not the case in the SSPX. The SSPX is full of young couples having lots of babies and homeschooling their kids. In 100 years, everyone alive today will be dead. Where is the Catholic Church going to be substantially? With the wing that uses contraception and what children they do have leave the church? And who the bulk of its members today is over 50 years old? Or the wing that is young, doesn't contracept, and has a whole bunch of babies? Do you see where I'm going with this? It doesn't matter that the Novus Ordo is 90% of Catholicism today, because that's going to flip. And in 100 years, the traditional Catholic movement, the majority of which is the SSPX, will be largely what's left of the Catholic Church. Because by then, the official Latin Mass groups like FSSP and ICK, etc., will be disbanded. They've all but said that's what they want to do. And the victors get to write history. The SSPX view of all of this is going to become the historic view. Not just because it is the correct view, but because the Novus Ordo is unsustainable and the SSPX is unstoppable. None of us are scared of excommunication. None of us see it as valid. Anyone who did has already left. And there's a lot more of us this time than last time. And just like St. Athanasius and St. Joan of Arc, the church is going to look back at this time in history and say those people were right and unjustly persecuted by the church, unjustly excommunicated, and justified in what they did. And the Second Vatican Council will probably be declared a robber council. And yes, it can happen. It's happened before. Look up the controversy around the Fourth Council of Constantinople. The church initially approved one council, then Pope John VIII revoked that approval in favor of a new council, approving it, then later that approval was revoked, and the first council was reinstated. Some historians say this happened centuries later, and that first council that was reinstated is what the Catholic Church today calls the Fourth Council of Constantinople, the Eighth Ecumenical Council. So let's recap. For the Eighth Ecumenical Council, the Catholic Church recognized one council, then later rejected that council in favor of another council, recognizing that new council potentially for centuries, only to reject that council in favor of the first council, which it recognizes to this day as the Eighth Ecumenical Council. And you're telling me that the church can't make null and void a non-dogmatic, non-infallible, pastoral council, so says Pope Paul VI. You're telling me that can't happen. Sometimes the church draws with crooked lines. And mark my words, Archbishop Lefebvre will be declared a saint. Until my next video, God bless.